Dead set heard it all in here. Morning, everyone. It is Thursday, June 23. The Vic Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you. Just during the intro then. Pup, could you explain?
It's hard to. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, boys. Loz has got a theory.
Not my theory. I heard it on the radio. Well, I was just
must be true.
It.
You heard it on the radio. It's or definitely Google. It's Google's best friend. Google knows everything. So what is it? If you can stand on one leg and not wobble for 10 seconds, you'll live longer than.
You'll live longer than if you're wobbling. So you'll live a longer life. Less than 10 years.
If you wobble. More than 10 years if you don't
more
wobble.
More than 10 years.
But do you have to be at a certain... Like, if I'm 5 and I can do it, does that mean I live till I'm 15?
Yeah, I suppose. If you
Or if I'm 90, 90, what if I'm 90, yeah, 90 and I can do 100. It? I get to 100, do I?
But didn't you say it's an over-50s test?
Over-50s test.
No, so it doesn't...
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So no good me doing it just yet.
No.
Okay, so how'd you go? You look pretty sturdy to me.
Well, I did, but you know how you feel yourself? A little bit of a wobble?
Oh, so maybe you got 7 years in you.
I don't know. Don't tell me that. You know what I'm like.
Yeah, actually, good point. Mate, you'll make
I'll be worried all show now.
Well, I've got some news for you. I'm very confident you'll live longer than me.
You said that. Why?
Yeah. Oh, I just think you're going to make I'm definitely not making 100. You'll make 100. Mm. I've got a feeling 77's my number. I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that as well.
Not when you get to 70.
Probably not. Certainly not at 76. But right now at 41... Mm. If they gave me 77, I think I'd sign the contract.
Yeah. So I was probably like you when I was younger.
Yeah. My old man disagrees with me big time.
Yeah, but it always seems so far away too. But as you get older, the years go quicker.
Yeah.
And
but what do you think? What do you think? What's a fair number? What are you looking for? You want 100?
I want as long as I can. As long as I'm getting around okay, I'll be happy. I don't care what the age is, as long as I'm going good. So, that's what I'm aiming for, as long as I can.
Beautifully morbid.
Is that the
start
way we've opened up
today? It's an early start early to be start. Talking death.
What age are we going to cark it? Love it. Unbelievable. Anyway, Origin, starting to get spicy, fellas. So a bit of chat yesterday. They're a grub, we're a grub, we're all grubs.
Love it. Bring it on.
Bring it on Sunday night. Are
we going to say stink?
No.
Just a little one?
Can't.
Oh, I might say
just
a
like
little
a bit
one.
Of, just a bit couple of...
Niggle. Might say a little niggle, few, maybe a punch, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
I reckon just a little punch.
You know you're going to the sin bin, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, but...
So you don't want to let your team down by doing that. Because if you punch and they don't react...
You go on your
you're
own.
You're gone.
No one's getting punched in the mouth in the State of Origin game and not throwing one back, surely. Nobody on the planet's got that much discipline. If you're getting smacked, you're definitely giving it back. In a State of Origin game.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
When you're
point.
Full of emotion, adrenaline. Yeah. Mate, if someone's clocking you, I reckon you're... Unless you're floored. If you're knocked out, different story. But I reckon you're going
if someone's
back.
Someone's got your arms.
That would be difficult as well.
Yeah, difficult. But look, it's all fun and games. It's a bit of...
I'd like a little...
Bit of talk.
Am I allowed to say that? Oh, just a little one. I don't see anyone get hurt. But I'd like to see a stink.
I'd absolutely love to see a stink. Yeah. I'll just say it.
Yeah.
There won't be a stink. No. There might be a little one-on-one.
Big
little
heyday, all-in brawl.
Punch here and there, but I doubt whether it'll be the old all-in brawl or the fight that Gal had with Paul Gallen. What year was that, 2013?
Yeah, I think you're right.
2013, Gal.
Changed the rules.
They changed it straight away. Mm.
Mm. Hey, pup. We know you won't make 100 years. You'll definitely make 99. Graham from Foster.
Ooh.
After all the 99
Graham,
chat
little sledge, little whack. Have some of that, youngster, at 5:40 a.m.
Fair call.
As I said with my batting buddy, 99's better than zero. I'll take it right now.
Just nudge it down to fine leg for a single, mate.
Any chance of getting one more run? Any chance of a partner's giving me the strike?
You didn't have the strike, did you?
No. I don't remember getting 99 in England. That's...
99 not out.
Yeah.
Mm. Also, this text. Morning, boys. Hope to hear Josh Reynolds on the show this morning. What his next move is after leaving Hull FC. Great to listen to. He may be coming on for one of your spots. Cheers, Doc. He will be on. I've spoken to Josh a couple of times this week. Spoke to him last night. And it's all gone through. So Hull FC confirmed that Josh Reynolds has left the club with immediate effect. Essentially, the club... Josh signed a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
He had an option for a third year, but he was always, he signed for 2 years and the club asked him, he'll tell us obviously more about it. He's going to stay on for a third year.
He's into his second year now, right?
Yeah, he didn't
halfway through
to that.
His second year.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think they've got 10 weeks left in the season.
You know, the only thing I said to Loz, the only thing I don't like about this is when you get, even if they come to that agreement that no, we're not going to take the option and stay on for the third year. Both parties want to walk away. Awesome. Love that. I don't like how he gets released now. Like, I think he should finish the season. He should stay there. That way he's fulfilled his contract. And it's very clean. He just hasn't taken the option. For whoever's made that decision, I think that would be a lot cleaner way to do it. I don't like how, and I guess I'm sure it comes down to both the club and Josh. If he gets released now, it gives him time to go and talk to another club or whatever. I understand that. But I don't like the look of that. I'd rather, from both parties, finish your contract. Once the season's over, then perfect. Go our separate ways.
Yeah. Well, the club essentially decided with him not staying next year, just
new
wants
owner.
To go. I don't know if it's new. You have to ask Josh that, Loz, but certainly the owner wants to go in a different direction.
Mm.
So I think they're on the verge of signing a young player from Castleford in the halves.
But is he coming? He's not going to come this year, is he? The young kid that they're going to sign.
Don't think so.
So again, I did, that's you know.
But they, well, we do it out here in Australia, but I think they do it on a regular basis in England. Like, they
do you have a choice as a player? Like, can Josh say, no, I don't want to go now. I want to finish the season?
No, not really.
If they say it's...
Well, they say, mate, there's your money. Go.
Yeah, you don't get a choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can go on then.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, I agree.
Just think the look of it for everyone, for, you know, both parties. And but it's just the contracting again that I got beef with, you know?
But, you know, he might pick himself up another club till the end of the year and gets paid again.
So, yeah, okay. So he could go play.
Oh, he could play and get
in the
more
same competition for another for an opposition team for the rest of the season.
Pick up 10 weeks' pay somewhere if he wanted to, or he might come home. I don't know. We'll ask him.
Josh coming up in about half an hour's time, just a little bit less then, actually. G'day, boys. Tip today. Race 3, number 14, Tintuki. Big odds, expecting very bold showing. Cheers, Paddy. That's a Gosford today, by the way. And it's $14 the win, $4 the place for those who want to follow Paddy in. Race 3, number 14. Well, I got a tip for you.
I got Saturday, news for you as well.
Raw Ramwick. Race 4, number 11, down the bottom of the weights. Might have had a bet on it last night. Pretty wild.
Yeah,
she's Kathy in. O'Hara, Barrier 2, $4.40 with Tab. Let's go straight from a maiden into Saturday grade,
well,
if you don't mind.
That's what I was going to say. Chris is he's not, well, he's certainly, he's never overconfident. He's very...
He's always circumspect.
Yeah, but very much so here. He believes it's a massive step for. I don't think this is the stepping stone he would have preferred, but I think he's okay to put her in the race, see how she goes with zero expectation. But yeah, it's not what he wanted to do. I think he's saying he didn't really, what he wanted to do wasn't going to pan out. So he's willing to take a bit of a risk or a bit of a jump to see how she goes, but just have very low expectations.
I got mail too last night in the same race.
You're kidding.
A mate of mine's wife owns a horse in the same race.
Love it. Love it.
Number one.
Cruel Summer. There you go.
So there you go. What's Cruel Summer done, Middo? Anything?
It's a $10 chance trained by Paul Perry. Ash Morgan in the saddle. I've got the right race, don't I? Yeah, I have. I'll come back to you on that. I have to have a look at it. So the owners are confident?
All I got was that text message last night saying, I'm just showing Middo the text message, so I'm not lying.
No, right, okay. Just saying that
his wife,
it's in the same race.
In the same race.
Okay, well...
He wasn't tipping it, but I'm just... I'll see how it goes.
Well, ran second in the midway a couple of weeks ago and won a couple of races before that at Newcastle and Canterbury. So there you go. But I'm on the pretty wild train.
Pretty
paid
wild.
Off on,
very impressive. Very impressive.
Paid off on
up.
Debut.
Yeah, just go steady. Just go steady. Don't go hurting your pocket, Middo.
Okay, and hey, lads, the second and third horse from Clarkie's horses' maiden win have since come out and run 1-2 impressively in a 60K race. So there you go. The form out of your race, and you brained them, is apparently stacking up. Morning, boys. I've heard a whisper that Loz is going to put Pretty Wild into his multi, says Leo. Well, Loz...
Leo, this, if I was here, I would have.
Loz is going on. Loz is going on holidays today, and yeah. Clarky and I are going. We're all off for a week, basically. We're off next week, so I think there's going to be a very significant passing of the torch today for the multi this week. Stay tuned, particularly after 7 o'clock this morning. Loz might be passing the baton to a special guest multi.
Oof,
for this Friday, special guest multi tipster.
Fair enough.
Like it. Well,
do you know about this, Loz?
Yeah, quickly mentioned to me yesterday by Will.
I just washed
my hands of it. I said, I don't want nothing to do with the multi. I won't be here. I haven't got time to study form.
Like it.
I haven't got time to ring
Zero
around.
Accountability.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm not.
Unless it wins.
Putting them
then
on
it's
the line
team.
Tomorrow.
If it wins, it's all of us.
That's
you
exactly
know?
Right. Yeah. If I was here tomorrow, I would chuck your horse.
Well, I'm happy you're not here tomorrow.
In
then.
The multi?
I don't think it's ready. I don't think it's earned the right to get in your multi just yet.
Why?
Why would you do that to him?
Well, I would see whether she is a very, very good horse.
She's a baby.
Or an average horse.
She's just, even if she runs last, doesn't mean she's average.
No, that's exactly right. That's a very, very good point. Because when you're a baby,
that's exactly
a
right.
young filly,
yep.
anything can happen.
Okay, back page of the Daily Telly. Being Liam Martin. Ever wanted to embrace your inner grub is the headline there with the picture of the Blues all wearing sort of Liam Martin masks, I guess. And he responded yesterday to being labelled a grub by the Queensland media or going on a grubby rampage. He's lapping it up. Says he doesn't mind. He couldn't care less. It's part of Origin. He even said he probably is a grub. Whatever Queensland gives, he'll give it back. Well, at least we've got some life heading into Origin 2.
Well, I'll need to have some life, you know, New South Wales in particular, because the series is on the line. We need to win it, and we need to do everything we possibly can to get the job done. And if that's going to fire them up and get the job done, so be it. But Liam Martin, he plays tough. Obviously, Queensland have picked out a few clips and put it out there in the press to respond to what the Blues were saying about the ruck and, you know, how it wasn't policed properly and New South Wales played too clean. I think the only thing that New South Wales have to be wary of is just going over the top and being ill-disciplined. If they're disciplined and they go about it in terms of their aggression, line speed, hitting with their shoulders, getting in their face, really frustrating the Queenslanders, I think that'll work. But you don't want to be giving away cheap penalties and allowing Queensland cheap yardage out of their own half and, you know, allowing them to get good field position to put you under pressure. So there's a balance there, but I like what's coming out of the camp at the moment. They want to be more aggressive. They really want to test the referee in this camp. And they are going to put it all on the line. And they need to.
Also, back page of the Australian, fiery Felice hits back as Origin war of words erupts over grubby tactics. So Felice Kaufusi again defended himself yesterday after Angus Crichton said that he should have been suspended over the Sam Walker elbow incident, and he says he's not a dirty player, and if people think he is, he can't change their opinions. Cameron Munster went into bat for Kaufusi too. So that, I'll tell you what, it certainly riled him up a bit though, the incident with Sam Walker. He's had a fair bit to say about a Kaufusi in defending himself. I thought the players generally lap that sort of stuff up, but he's spoken a fair bit about the impact it has on his family and his close friends and people close to him.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is, you know, he got off. He got off, so people believe that it was an accident. So that's where he's coming from. He's thinking that, hey, you guys, you want to, you know, put this stuff on me, but when I went to the judiciary, I fought it, I was charged, I got off. And then he's come back with, well, I'll do my talking out there on the football field. I'm not a grub. You can think whatever you want of me. But I'm a family man. Once I cross that line, I'll do what I need to do for the team. But he'll bring that aggression to this Queensland outfit. He'll keep doing what he's been doing. And it just sets itself up for a nice one-on-one battle. We don't see too many of them in Origin. But if they can get at each other... Just trying to think whether Liam Martin may go to the left edge or whether they'll stick with him on the right. Because I think Cam Murray's better suited on the right. Just it worried me the other day down that short side, Cam Murray, left edge. I don't know whether he's got something wrong with his left shoulder, but when he missed that tackle, I was thinking, wow, I've never seen Cam Murray.
That was in the Dragons game.
That was in the Dragons game. But he does like to play that left edge. I know he plays in the right edge, and I know he plays through the middle at the moment. But I'm just wondering whether Liam Martin might switch around to the left side and might slot Murray in on the right edge.
In the Herald, Andrew Johns' column, why Freddie's changes can make history repeat. And he's saying that, you know, people are basically jumping up and down at the changes Brad Fittler made. He says it shows strength and pointed to the fact that he's done it before, particularly in that game two back in Perth in 2019 when they lost game one and then smashed the Maroons 38-6 after making a raft of changes for game two. Now, Clarkie, back page of The Australian and The Telegraph, the Big Bash. The Telegraph, Big Bash draft to lure stars. Back page of The Australian, the Big Bash's bid to regain its star power is the headline there. So the player draft is happening. It's going to happen late August. They say it's set to be televised as well. Interesting concessions will be made to players who were signed to the United Arab Emirates and South African leagues. These emerging leagues that are set to start and run at the same time as the Big Bash. Yeah. They'll start later. The Big Bash starts in December. These leagues will start likely January.
I think that's because players are already on contract with those tournaments. So what they want to do is not wipe those players and give them the opportunity to come to Australia. Mm. So they're saying even if you've got a contract there or even if you're part of that, South African League or what was the other one, UAE, is it? You can still be a part of the Big Bash. And that's what happens. Some players can come for six games and you work out as a team, are they worth the money? Some players come for the full season. My only concern, look, I think it's great. I think it's something different. Good idea. Hopefully it attracts more overseas players. My concern is still the amount of money, you know, that the BBL is offering is... I don't think it's high enough to attract the big fish, particularly because of the length of time the BBL is.
So you've got to condense the tournament.
Well, if you go to the if you go to the UAE, you play a 3-week tournament in Dubai and get paid what the highest player on the platinum contract will get, but in US dollars. Mm. So you're getting really double the money they're offering here for half the time. And the other thing, remember, it's over that Christmas, New Year period as well. So, you know, let's talk about the Indian players, for example. Virat Kohli's not giving up Christmas and New Year's with his wife and child for $300,000 to spend 8 weeks here playing cricket. No chance.
Yeah, it's...
You know, I just think it's... I like it. Good concept. Worth a go. And you will attract more players, certainly for 1 or 2 years, and then I think you'll find the key is unless I think the BBL needs to be franchised. That's what I think.
Private ownership.
Definitely. Because that will enhance money. They'll find other ways to pay players as well. Get rid of the salary cap. Hopefully then TV rights go up as well, particularly if a lot of these owners come from subcontinent, which they will. You look at Calcutta Knight Riders, for example. They've got a team in just about every competition. Mm. West Indian League, UAE League, IPL. It'll be the same owners, really. I just think the length of time the BBL is a put-off to overseas players particularly.
So these overseas players will have to nominate how long they're available for before they go into the draft. So the BBL franchises know if they draft this player, he's available for this amount of time. So
you pay per game, really. Mm-hmm. That's how they'll do it. If you're on the highest contract, the platinum contract of, what is it, $340,000, the player will work out what's the value of per game to me. That's how long I'll go for.
But Cricket Australia is then hoping, well, if a player nominates for, say, 4 weeks of the tournament, by that time, the test series is over here in Australia, and that some of those test players might come in and fill the void by those players who leave to go and play, say, in the UAE or South African competition. So it looks like there's a one-day series slated against South Africa after the Sydney test, the last test of the summer in January. That's all but certain to be cancelled.
Definitely.
Which I absolutely hate. I understand that, you know, the Big Bash has got to have its place, but the sacrifice, only because I want to watch international cricket.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch the Big Bash.
Well, Cricket Australia's
too many meaningless matches.
Cricket Australia's got no choice now but to do whatever they can to get the international Australian players, our national players playing. Yes, they've done the draft for the international players, but I reckon more than anything else in the world, they want our national players playing as much BBL as possible. And I understand that. But something has to give. You're either going to turn down international cricket. There's going to be a domestic between Player Association and Cricket Australia, because I can tell you now, the likes of, let's say, Mitchell Stark. He's a good example. Pat Cummins. Mate, if these guys have got 2 weeks off international cricket and Cricket Australia say, mate, you've got to go back and play in your BBL team.
They're going to be happy.
Mate, they're going to go, oh, my hamstring's tight.
Yeah.
I've got a stiff back. Dave Warner hasn't even got a BBL team.
How many games did you play for the Sydney Thunder?
I played zero BBL games.
Where does it leave the...
For that reason, though, because you've got so much international cricket, and I prioritised that over playing in the BBL. I wanted my body, firstly, to be as fit and healthy as it could be. And if I had 4 days off, I wanted to see my family.
Hmm.
I didn't want to travel to Adelaide to play a 2020 game. So I did. I made that clear in regards to turning down IPL. So that's why I felt fine about it. It wasn't me saying, oh, I'm choosing my country over playing for a BBL franchise. I said, no, I'm choosing my country over playing 2020 cricket. I walked away from IPL. I walked away from BBL. And at one stage, I think I ended up signing a marketing deal for the Melbourne Stars. They knew I wasn't going to play, but I just did all their promotional stuff. And I was okay with that to try and help the competition. But yeah, I my body couldn't handle it. I could not handle all three formats and then playing domestically as well.
The stop-start nature of Sheffield Shield. Was that only because of
COVID?
Or where does this fit into the picture?
It was last year, but there's some real concerns around where. It's a good question,
because you can't start it, then stop it, and then
That's what they started did again last summer.
I know they did that, but that was for COVID.
Mm. And you know the other thing loses. Was how do you prepare for a test match?
Yeah.
We got the BBL playing when you've got, you know, let's say you got an overseas tour, you're about to go to India for a test series or England for a test series, and your preparation's BBL. Or the players in state cricket that get caught up to the international team, they're playing 2020 cricket while the Australian team's playing test cricket. So what happens if you get selected?
Yeah.
How's your preparation? Bowlers only bowling 4 overs, go into a test match, you've got to bowl 34.
Mm. Yeah, and... Where do you put it? Where do you stage it? You can't keep lengthening the season because it loses its relevance.
Well, this year we're well and truly into footy season, weren't we? Mm. So, yeah, it's hard for them to find. That's why I think if they can shorten the BBL, keep it through school holidays, make it about entertainment. Yes, if there's a game available for the internationals, make sure every international player has a team. I think you need to have a team. Because they can do the marketing and promotion as well. You can promote that Nathan Lyons with the Sydney Sixers, even if he only plays one game. But you've got to, I think we've still got to be able to fit, you know, the right first class and domestic cricket into the system that complements what the Australian players are doing.
Josh Reynolds coming up shortly, and the news overnight is that Hull put out a statement and confirmed that Reynolds has left the club with immediate effect. So we'll get all the rundown on Josh Reynolds and what the future holds for him. But his time at Hull has ended overnight. So he's coming up shortly. Just yesterday, as we get deep into rep round, of course. By the way, last night, Lebanon beat Malta in the Elias Fenwick Cup game at Belmore. Lebanon 30-14 there at Belmore last night. Winger Christian Yasmin, a double for the Cedars, who won the Elias Fenwick Cup. And the team's out for that highly anticipated New Zealand-Tonga game at Mount Smart Stadium, New Zealand's first test for 3 years, on Saturday afternoon. And Michael Maguire, the Kiwi coach, has named 4 debutants: Dylan Brown, Murata Neokore, Ronaldo Mulitalo. Mulitalo, remember he was playing for Queensland last year. And Moses Leota. He's named Joey Manu at fullback, Kieran Foran's in the 14 jersey, Jesse Bromwich to captain the side after he stood down about 5 years ago after an incident in Canberra. You should see Tonga's forward pack.
I've got it here, Mitter. Fanua
Read
Blake,
it out to us.
Taki Aho up front, Havili is hooker, in the back row, Tupanua, Kalamatangi and Taumalolo. You got guys like Ollie Tau on the bench. Mo Fotowaker is on the bench as well. But this Kiwi side, geez, it's a good side.
That is a good side, isn't it?
They're Haas, Dylan Brown, Jerome Hughes. Probably when you look at it, you know, Peter Hiku and Niokora as the centres. Yeah, you know, he's a back rower near Cora. Hiku is playing some good footy for the Cowboys. But they've put Joe Manu back to fullback. I like him back there, but also he's very, very dangerous as a centre. But this forward pack, Fisher Harris and Jesse Bromwich, Brennan Smith, then you've got Isaiah Papali'i, Kenny Bromwich and Joe Tarpany.
Big Nelson on the bench.
Nelson on the bench. Moses Leota on the bench. Britton Nakora on the bench. Kieran Foran on the bench. That's a powerful team.
It's going to be some game in this.
Oh, is yeah. I think there'll be more Tongan supporters there than Kiwi supporters. All I can remember, every time I've seen Tonga play recently, is just the sea of red. And the hymns and the songs that they sing throughout the match just lends itself to a wonderful atmosphere. So if you're doing nothing on Saturday and you want to see a great atmosphere at a rugby league game, I think it's on
Pretty sure, half past three. Yeah,
it's
kickoff is 20 past three.
20 past three.
20 past
and it will three. Be on Fox Sports and KO.
Just trying to find a market for the game. New Zealand $1.26, Tonga $3.90 with Tab the line 10.5. Tonga the plus, but New Zealand laws have probably been, well, they've been battling, you'd have to say it, the international game for probably the, I know they haven't played for 3 years. Yeah. Before that, they were on a bit of a downswing, you'd have to say.
I think leading into the last World Cup, they were struggling. But I think since Madge has taken over, I think he's improved them. Mm. And the squad that he's been able to gather is very strong. This is as strong as team as the Kiwis have had for a long while.
Yeah, you look at that squad and you think they could challenge at the World Cup. On the right day, definitely. They could beat the Kangaroos.
On the right day, they could beat Australia.
What about Madge coaching the Warriors? If he's a New Zealand coach as well.
I think the owner has said no.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
Yes, I'm pretty confident that I read that somewhere where he put out a statement saying that he wouldn't have Madge coaching the Warriors. I think Madge will come back as a coach. He'll just have to bide his time. But this weekend is a great opportunity for all those players, you know, the Pacific Islander players, and PNG and places like this to go back and represent their heritage and play some good football and show everyone, you know, how much it means to them.
Mm. Nice to see some international footy as well.
Oh, yeah, I think it's
way
great.
Way too long.
And that's what I mean, Pop, when we spoke before about, you know, what Taumalolo and Andrew Fifita did
a few years ago.
I think that should be celebrated more.
I agree.
Because they put their heritage in front of, you know, the short-term cash grab of playing for Origin and playing for Australia. They want to go back and represent their family. I think it's great, and I think it's good that we're seeing it more and more now. The only issue I had was, I think, if you're making yourself available for the big games for, you know, like State of Origin, you have to make yourself available for Australia. And then in a World Cup year, if you're not selected in those games, you can. And if you're not selected for Australia, you can then go back and represent. I just think it would have been silly if we allowed Katoni Staggs, and I'm only just picking these players out because they were spoken about, and Tupu to play Origin 1, miss Origin 2, and go back and play in Origin 3. I wouldn't have seen any point in that.
Well, he's a free agent joining us. Josh, how are you, mate? It's been some week.
Mate, I heard you just say he's had a big week, mate. This is a normal week for me. always something going on, isn't there? You're not wrong, mate. It has been a big week for me, mate. And to be honest, it happened pretty fast. So last week when I hopped off the plane from beautiful Venice, I got asked to come in and see Brett just to have a chat to him. I thought it was probably going to be about the game or whatnot, but he sort of just said to me, look, Adam, the owner, wants to come and have a word to you just about you know, something about the possible future. He didn't give me the whole ins and outs, but I sort of got the gist of what was going on, and I was probably a bit taken back by it, to be honest, because it's obviously not how I wanted to finish here. I had a 2-year deal here, and you know, I didn't think we were going too bad. You know, we're sitting fifth on the table, but in saying that, they come, ask me if I did want to leave, and you know, I did say no, but at the same time, I'm not silly, and I know it is a business. I had gone in a couple of weeks before, boys, and did say that I don't want to be there for the, for 2023. And I think, Adam, as the owner, has probably just had to think about that and said, well, if it's not going to work out for next year, I'm happy to see it, go now and, probably try and make way for somewhere else and look to the future. So, yeah, like I said, it all happened fast, but I'm all right, boys. And as you said, I'm looking for a new club as of now, for right now, and as I still think I've got a year or two definitely left in me.
Just on that then, Joshy, with your future, obviously you still want to play. What's the likelihood of you picking up a club for the rest of the season, and or the likelihood of being able to stay over there and play next season?
To be completely honest, Loz, it's all happened so fast, and over the last couple of days, it's obviously just been about the ins and outs of this contract, and sorting out what's best for myself, and obviously the club have been doing the same thing. But for me, I'll definitely be looking. Definitely, if there's something over here that makes sense, Loz, for me to stay here for the last 12 games, I'd love to, because I want to keep playing footy, and I feel like I can add something to a club for, someone heading into the semi-finals, or, a club even, trying to get up to save relegation or whatnot. So for me, I just want to keep playing footy, Loz, and whether it's, in the UK or back in Australia, I'm definitely keen to keep going, and that's just where my head's at the moment. And, that'll be up to George to, I suppose, try and nut out a few of those clubs that might be interested.
Josh, you say you want to keep playing, so your time's not up, yet you decline, or you said to Hull that you don't want to take the extension for that one extra year. Does that mean you've got hopes of coming back here and getting back into the NRL?
Definitely, Clarky, mate, yeah. To be completely honest, mate, if I was thinking about this maybe, let's say, at the start of this year, I definitely wasn't. I definitely wasn't coming back to the NRL. I was going to be happy to finish here and definitely end my career here. But there's been some of the last couple of weeks, I suppose, where I've just, I've really thought I could come back. And it was more or less, to be completely honest with you, boys, I was missing everyone back home a bit. Even though I have got my partner here now, and it has been great. We've had a ball. I just felt my tenure here was up. 2 years, and that's what I always had planned. I always had planned to come over here for 2 years and then, probably not continue footy-wise, but I don't feel ready to finish yet, Clarky. My body feels great. My mind feels great. So, I can't see why not. I wouldn't be doing myself, later on, 10 years down the track, if I sat at a pub and thought about it, I know I would have finished too early.
Have you spoken to anyone back here, like the Dolphins, for example, or your manager spoken to anyone? Because, again, I know that feeling. If you still think there's something in there, that's one thing, but you need an opportunity as well.
Exactly right, Clark. And, I'm not getting any younger. I know that. And I know, how the business works. And that's probably why I think I've taken, this on the chin pretty well. I've got no hard feelings against Hull or Adam or the owner because I know how the business works. Yeah. But now for me, I know what I got to do is, because we haven't been able to really talk to any clubs because I've still been, signed to Hull FC from pretty much midday today. I'm allowed to look anywhere else. So George has done the right thing there and, not looked anywhere else as of yet. But from now, it's pretty much just putting it out there, I guess, that, I'm up for, whether I come back now and come straight into a system or a team and, help some, like I said, help some get into the finals, or, I come home, I train hard, I get my body in good shape and try and get a pre-season somewhere and just, that's the one thing I spoke to Mick Ennis about the other day. I sort of just said to him, I always talk to him about this kind of stuff, and he just said, mate, if you get into a preseason with anyone, he said, you know your competitive nature is going to come out, and you know you're going to keep driving. And I know I've got that in myself, mate. So that's what I'll be thinking, and you know, hopefully someone does give me a chance.
Yeah, it's all about keeping your body fit and healthy, and you know, if you get an opportunity, how would you sell yourself to an Australian club, Joshy? Would you sell yourself as a starting half, or you sell yourself as that experienced half that can play a bits and pieces role but help out as a mentor in developing these young, talented kids coming through? If I asked you, if I was sitting there in front of you as a coach looking to recruit you, what would you say to me?
Yeah, definitely, Loz. I think pretty much exactly what you just said then, the second one, mate. Like, I'm not silly enough to know that I'm going to walk into any team and be a starting half. Don't get me wrong, though. If I get to preseason and I'm, you know, grinding with everyone else, and I'll be in that mindset, because you want to play, you want to start, right? But at the same time, you know, I've always had that sort of versatility about myself, even though for the last probably 5 or 6 years I've played 5'8". But, you know, I started as a hooker, anywhere in the halves, and I'd be happy to, you know, play that 14 role. Probably a bit similar to what, you know, Benji played for South, I guess, in his last year. You know, he played anywhere, and I'd be up for doing that. And it is also what you said about the kids, mate. Like, I really enjoy, like, today I've had some really, really nice messages from some young guys, you know, 18 years old, who have sent me messages saying, you know, for me to be able to watch you play years and years ago and to be able to train with you, it's been an honour. And for me, that's what it's all about right now. It honestly is. Like, that makes me feel so good, and just, I'm doing something right. So if I could do that for someone, you know, in the NRL, that'd be perfect, Loz.
Well, we've got a couple of suggestions on our text line from our listeners. Firstly, Mido, the Robertson Spuddies are looking for a number 6. a pie and a Coke a game would surely be enough, Mitch from Robertson asked. But then, hey, boys, Josh Reynolds could come back to the Dogs. It's not June 30. We love Josh at the Dogs. Please, Josh, come to the Doggies. Cheers, boys. Damo from Orange.
Wouldn't that be
sending that one through? And that would be the romantic be notion, wouldn't it?
It'd be unreal. Yeah.
Well, for the first one, is it a Garlow's pie? I'm not going to hide it, you know. Like, I'd love that. I really would. It's something I've always wanted to do. It would be that, you know, the fairy tale finish for me. But in saying that, it's not about, you know, the fairy tale for me. It's more about, I honestly think I could add so much, you know, to them if I did go. For, as Loz just said, but not probably not just for playing, even though I'd work my backside off to get into that team. It's more just to, I suppose, just give the knowledge that I've got of what I remember how it used to be when I was there at the Dogs. And, you know, I still keep in contact with a lot of people, you know, at that club. And you know, I don't think it's ever left me, to be honest. It's probably the one thing in my career where I, you know, even though it's worked out really well for me, and you know, I've got to do all these other things, I would have loved to stay a Bulldog, and that's just me talking from my heart. I love the club. My mum still lives in that area, and it would be perfect. But in saying that, you know, they might not, you know, be ready for me, or it might not be the right time for them. But I definitely wouldn't say no if, you know, I got asked to come back there and given that opportunity.
What about, Joshy, if you can't pick up a club, have you come to terms with the possibility it could be your last game? You could have played game?
It's probably the hard bit, mate, to be honest. That's, you know, the boys over here have sort of said, you know, it's probably not exactly how you would have wanted it to finish. And I'm not going to lie, it hasn't been. So that in itself leaves a bit of fire in the belly for me to, you know, go out how I wanted to. Mm. But also in saying that, mate, this is a big thing for me to say. I'm the most happiest I've ever been off the field in my whole life. You know, I'm happy, you know, with my partner now, and she brings me so much joy away from footy now. It's honestly, I think I could come to terms with it, Loz. And you know, I've always tried to be a bit smart off the field and set myself up with a few other things. So there is a couple of avenues that, you know, I could go down. And it is a bit daunting, though. It is a bit scary to even think about that. But it is reality. It is life. And we've all got an expiry date. So, yeah, if that did, you know, become the case, I think I'd be all right with it. I say that now, but ask me if it did come to that. But hopefully it doesn't, man. I feel I've got a fair bit left in me.
What's been the response from your teammates there at Hull and also the fans and people around the club? Because, you know, essentially you signed a two-year deal and you wanted to honour that two-year deal. And then what, the club's just taken a different track now going forward. So how's everyone sort of responded to this?
Yeah, exactly, Mido. Like, it's not like, you know, I've asked to leave. I would have stayed here definitely for the rest of the season and, you know, tried to enjoy the footy and get the boys into the semis, but it just hasn't worked out like that. So I think it's a bit mixed, to be honest, mate, with the fans. They're a very cutthroat set of fans, and, you know, they're, but at the same time, they're very passionate. So for me, I think I've got some nice messages today saying, you know, thanks for your time here and, you know, thanks for your efforts and whatnot. But I've also had, you know, there's always going to be someone plays the devil's advocate. So, but that's just how it goes, isn't it? But for me, it's more about my teammates and what they've been saying to me. So, and that's what matters to me. They've been saying, you know, a lot of things about just friendships I've been able to create and just some memories, I suppose, in this last year and a half that I've had. And I think when you get to the back end of your career, that's what's most important. It's just about, you know, creating those, I know, bonds with people and, you know, being able to just go and have a yarn about everything away from footy. So it's been good, mate, and, you know, I appreciate everyone, you know, reaching out to me and making sure I'm all good.
All right, well, I'm sure you've seen the Origin teams. What did you make of Brad Fittler's changes and how do you think Sunday night will play out?
Yeah, I think it was awesome. And I think we were talking about it last time when we were on the show about bringing Coruscant in. I think he's just going to be the key. I really do. He obviously, you know, I feel he understands, obviously, Cleary and Luai a lot. The way they play when they need a bit of pressure taken off them, when, you know, he needs to run or, you know, when he needs to, you know, play a bit of extra deception around the ruck. And then I think with Cookie also, if they bring him off the bench, which I'm pretty sure is that what they're doing? Are they starting Coruscant? Yeah, I think Cookie would be perfect. I think he'll do exactly what Harry Grant done in game one for the Maroons. And I think another, you know, big thing for them is Jakey bringing him back in the middle. I think he'll just tighten up that ruck and probably try and, you know, stop the likes of Benny Hunt and Harry Grant run right like they did. So, and then one other thing I think is massive, I've seen, you know, a few people say it, but, you know, with Burton on that left side, if Cleary is getting a lot of that kick pressure, Burton can, you know, take a bit of pressure off him and it's going to be a bit harder for Caelan Ponga to know who's kicking. So I think Freddie's made some really good changes and I think they'll win game two off the back of that.
Yeah, I think it's a better balanced team, Josh. Game one, I was sort of concerned because there was some people there. I'm thinking, how are they going to get them into the game? What's their role? But with this squad, you actually can see and understand how they're thinking and what they're going to do with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly think, Loz, the one big thing for me is he's in the middle. I think, you know, Queensland, they you know, Cotter and that, they were just poking their noses through and I think Jakey's just the guy. I actually haven't had, you know, the honour to play with him, but he's just going to tie in the middle, and it just makes sense. You know, I think Teddy will be sniffing more around the middle this game, and I think the Blues, you know, I've seen Nathan say, come out and say, you know, he wasn't up to scratch, and for him to say that, he probably hasn't had a bad game in, I couldn't tell you how long. So I've heard he really delves into the video side of things, so he'll go back and he'll make sure he looks at all the little things that, you know, he can fix. And I think if, you know, he kicks well on the back of, you know, that their outside backs rolling forward like they do at Penrith, you know, I think they'll get the win.
You got any news over there for us, Josh? What's going on over there in the UK?
How's the Queen travelling?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure about the Queen, to
you
be honest.
Text her just to find out?
No. I don't think she'd be too happy. I think she's an FC supporter. She's a bit off me at the moment. I think she's on the other end of the spectrum. But no, I actually have. I've got some news for you. You know, probably for you, Loz.
Yeah. What have you got?
There's been a mother who's gone to her daughter's school sports day, tried to make her daughter proud and whatnot, but she's ended up mooning the crowd. So I think
what?
There's been a, I think there might have been a sack race. You know, you do a sack race.
Yeah.
And
no.
She's lost. Yeah,
she's lost the strides.
So, yeah, she lost the strides. Yep. And apparently, the poor little 8-year-old was quite embarrassed.
You can only
have you ever
imagine.
Done anything like that, Loz?
No,
you
know, I haven't, yeah. mate. No,
what,
no,
never lost your strides?
Only shirts.
Only shirts.
Only shirts.
And shoes.
And shoes.
You're known to lose your shoes.
well, yeah, mate, so if you end up home, Clarkie's going to take you out on the boat for
mate,
sure.
Mate, I'll take you anywhere you want, buddy. Beautiful. I'd love you to come back. And, Josh, you know what? I've got to say, credit to you, bud. There's not many athletes have the courage to be as open and honest as you have been, certainly in this interview, in coming out and saying, you know what, you're still not done. You want an opportunity back in the NRL, and that's courageous, mate, because a lot of people would be scared of the what if, or like Loz says, you don't get picked up, but you're willing to put them on the line and you still got that hunger. So credit to you, buddy, and I wish you all the best.
Oh, it means a lot, Clarkie, mate. It honestly does. And I appreciate you boys listening because it wasn't easy. But in the end, you know what? If I didn't say it and I haven't, you know, put myself forward, I wouldn't be the person I am today. So I appreciate that, Clarkie, and thank you, boys.
Mate, have a good day. We'll chat soon.
Thank you.
Jamie Rogers, morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, guys, and good morning to all of our listeners. Boys, I know we've spoken quite extensively about Jordan Dugowie, but I just wanted to give an update this morning because he has taken indefinite personal leave, so he won't take on GWS this weekend. And former Collingwood president Eddie McGuire has pretty much said Dugowie is going to be on parole now at the club for not just the rest of the season, but pretty much the rest of his career so that he can rewrite the narrative around him. But he did say, look, the club will rally around him, give him another chance to prove himself. So hopefully he is okay off the back of the fallout from the Bali partying video. And then, guys, a huge blow has been announced this morning. Shayna Jack, she's been forced to pull out of the World Swimming Championship. So she slipped at the warm-up pool and fell and landed on her hand. And she hasn't actually had x-rays yet, so she's going to be having them today. But she did say, my hand is fractured. She could just tell that it's definitely broken. And she said, look, the sad thing is she was actually tipped to win gold in the upcoming events. She was just about to do the 100-meter freestyle individual heats, and she was tipped to win gold in that as well as the 50. But she said, look, she's proud of what she's achieved so far. She has won 2 medals at the World Champs in the gold and silver. And she just said she will be back into training. She'll just be using a kickboard and doing kick sessions as well. So, it's just such a blow for her on her comeback trail from that doping ban. And it is too early now to see if she would be recovered in time for the Commonwealth Games next month.
Well, it's only, like you say, it's only next month, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, a broken hand, you wouldn't be able to train as you'd like to. That's going to make it difficult, you would think.
And especially with freestyle, like, you need to be able to use your hand. I swam with a broken foot at the Olympic trials in breaststroke, but it's just different. You need to be able to make sure that you can use your hand in freestyle. So it's just a huge blow for her that she's finally come back, but she did win 2 medals so far. So it's not like it's all been lost.
Mm. No, it's been good to see back. Good comeback story, but sadly, a bit of drama.
Horrible. Yeah, and also just quickly, still on the swimming, Caleb Dressel, who's that American superstar, he's actually withdrawn for an unspecified medical reason. So this was just before the men's semifinals in the 100-meter freestyle, and he's already won 2 gold medals, but they just said it's unspecified. It's not COVID-related, but they haven't gone into any details as to what is wrong with him, but he was meant to race in the 50 freestyle and the 100-meter butterfly. So that'll open up the door for some of our swimmers like Carl Chalmers.
Any news on the love triangle, Jamie?
No news, Clarkie.
They still rocking it?
Yes, and Emma McKeon.
Emma McKeon.
They live together, apparently.
What's happened to third party? What's his name?
Carl Chalmers.
Are they mates?
Well, they've all come out and said that life's all good.
Love
couldn't understand what the blow up was, and apparently, when all of this was blowing up, Carl Chalmers, they all did speak to each other. Cody Simpson rang him and tried to sort of clear the air and make sure things were all okay. So they're all friends. There's nothing to see here anymore.
Watch them go at the Olympics all together. High five it.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be friends on the pool deck.
Loz, why are you biting your tongue for? I can see it. You've got something to say, but you're biting
your
tongue.
You love drama when it's
I love
not
a
you.
I love a love. Love, a love. Everyone loves a love triangle, surely.
It's
not me, exactly right.
It actually at least brought some news to the swimming world. It was front page stories for a little while there.
Yeah, for sure.
Just got to be careful sometimes, Michael. I do.
I was waiting for what? What do you mean? What do you mean? I've got to be careful.
Come out of my mouth. I've just got to hold back.
Especially when you're just about to go on holiday.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly
trying
right.
Trying to drag it out of him, you know, just to get a Get a front pager.
Be careful today. Yeah.
Good on you, JR. I'll be back with the news at 7. Paul Gow, another big week in golf. The defections continue to the LIV Tour. Gowie, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, morning, fellas.
Firstly, US Open wash-up. What did you make of the performance of Matt Fitzpatrick and Will Zalatoris just missing that putt on the last to force a playoff? And I'll tell you what, great tipping by yourself as well with Fitzpatrick. And also you had Leish's top Aussie, Mark Leishman, who was joint top Aussie with Adam Scott.
Yeah, you occasionally get it right. But hey, just down the stretch, that was great golf. You know, you had two young guys trying to win their first, and you got Scotty Scheffler just hanging in there. I love the way he plays golf. He's just one of those scrappers that gets in there and just works hard at it. But Fitzpatrick could have hit one of the best shots under pressure I've seen since, you know, a number of Tiger Woods shots. That bunker shot on the last, he made it look easy, but it wasn't easy. He had to move the ball left to right. He had to get it up high. He had to hit a shot a certain distance, because if you hit it at the back of the green, there was a definite three-putt. The golf course served up some drama, which is what we like to see, and it just shows that they don't have to make these golf courses ridiculously long to make them competitive and interesting. So, no, good luck to the little Englishman. He works hard at it, and hopefully the doors are open, away he goes. So, and Leish, well, how did him and Adam Scott shot 2-under on the last day to finish in at 14th, and I think that's good for their Open Championships, which is in a 3 weeks' time. I think that if you like backing those two, I have some early money on them.
Gowie, what's the story with Nick Faldo?
Yeah, well, Nick Faldo, after 18 years in the broadcast box and 30 years of playing, he's packed it in. And he's finishing up his career this year in commentary. But I've heard on the grapevine, and it was only yesterday afternoon I heard this, that he might be defecting to the LIV Tour himself for commentary. So I don't know how much is in that, but that is that's the word on the street. So he might be hanging them up from CBS, but supposedly he could be heading and spending a bit of time with the Shark. But who knows? Let's wait and see for the next couple of weeks, because he's only announced yesterday that he's retiring.
Gowie, how does this work, this LIV Tour or the tournaments that they've got to play, but the players are now allowed to play in some of these big major events?
Yeah, so for this year, the tour, well, the four majors are separate to the PGA Tour. So the PGA Tour are the ones that they're hanging on for dear life at the moment, but the majors all are individually owned. So it's up to them, and they've already had their qualifications on how to get into that event. So instead of getting into any court cases or legal ramifications, they've just said whoever...
They're qualified, they're allowed to go.
You're as it playing. Stands. Yep. The tour's saying, the PGA Tour's saying, you might have qualified through your exemption category for, you know, tournaments for next week, but because you've signed on with LIV Tour, you're no longer eligible. You are suspended. So it's no different to, you know, being suspended for, you know, bringing the tour into disrepute. Yep. It's the same thing. So they're out. So the majors at this stage, and there's only one left, which is the Open Championships, will have to make a decision for next year whether they allow players who are members of the LIV Tour, whether they're allowed to play. So, and that's the big talking point. It's not the tour stuff anymore. It's about the four majors, because guys can play 10 events next year on the LIV Tour for, you know, $20 million, $25 million a week, and then play 8 or 10 events, and then play the 4 majors, 14 events, that'll do them. So it all hinges on the majors, whether they stick with the PGA Tour or they stand alone and make their own decisions. But the USGA last week in a news conference did say that they wouldn't allow players next year, but they could change that, because organisations change their minds every week. Mm.
And I see that the British Open, they're not going to stand in the way and stop these LIV Tour players from playing at St Andrews next month as well.
No, yeah, nor they should, because the qualifications have been, you know, from all around the world have been going ahead for the last 4 to 5 months. So, you know, players have qualified. Even players that are playing the LIV Tour that you haven't heard of, that play out of India, they've qualified. So, I don't think they can stop them. They don't want to stop them. This is the 150th Open. This is quite a significant year. It's at the home of golf. There's a lot to do. Yeah, I think they play on, and then they, they act accordingly after that, and they make their decisions. And that's the bit I'm waiting on, not all the other stuff. The PGA Tour have just come out overnight saying that they've changed the tour for next year. It's not going to be a wraparound season. So the wraparound season, just to let the listeners know, it ruined the Australian Tour. So on the US Tour, you know, you'd finish in about November, and then you'd come back and play six or seven events in Australia, like the Australian PGA Championships, the Vic Open, the New South Wales Open. But as soon as the US got greedy, and the US Tour got greedy, and they extended that until Christmas, that stopped our best players coming back, and it stopped us from getting players like a Marco Mira, you know, a Brad Faxon. Those guys used to come down and play the Australian Masters. So that was the demise of the Australian Masters and a few other events. Is we couldn't get any international players to come along, even to come down for a holiday and play some golf. So this is good news for the Australian Tour, because we could get back to having a good solid tour between the dates of November through to February.
Okay, some tips. Well, we've got the Women's PGA, don't we, this weekend? Minji Lee, in great form, obviously, coming off that US Open triumph. She's an $11 chance on the third line of betting. What are you thinking for this, Gowie?
Yeah, and this is a pity that all these big events that that the women have got are going unnoticed, but this is a big PGA event. Nellie Korda is the defending champion. She's had a bit of a rough year. She had a blood clot in her arm and off, you know, the game for 2 to 3 months, but she's come back well. I've watched the last couple of months, and she's looking fantastic, actually. I'm going with her, actually, at $10 as defending champion. I think she can go, the 23-year-old can go back-to-back there. And my roughie is Jennifer Kupko, who won last week. You mightn't have heard who she is, but she's a kid on the rise that won the LPGA event last week, who's just a ball-striking machine. She's a strong hitter. And that, you know, this golf course, you know, that's what it'll require. But, hey, we're not going to leave Hannah Green out and all the Aussies, Sarah Kemp. Minji is in great form. I love some of her presser. She doesn't play golf, you know, for the money. She actually just wants to be a good person in life. And it sounds very Ash Barty-like, but it's very endearing, that's for sure. And she's a good young talent, that's for sure.
And Nellie Korda, Gowie's tip there, $10. And Jennifer Kupko is a $34 chance with Tab. And the Travellers Championship on the PGA Tour, Gowie.
Yeah, this is an interesting week, because this is where they've had the meeting this week up there, where all the players sat and listened to the tour and what's going to happen. And, you know, McIlroy and Fleetwood and Cantlay and English, they never play this event, so it's good for the Travellers this week. So it's quite a in-depth field. This is an event, if you're going to have a punt, look at who makes a lot of birdies, because this is a golf course that, you know, it's not very long. The greens will be receptive, and, you know, there's going to be that 20 under par, definitely win. I've gone with Sungjae Im. I know I tip him a lot, but he's a machine. $29 for him. And Joel Denham, who last week on the, well, he led after 36 holes at the US Open. Bit of a letdown on the weekend, but this is more of a golf course for him. We've got four Aussies in play, and I like Jay Day, you know, for the Aussies. I couldn't pick him, but he was in my top five. I break them all down, and he was in my top five to win this week. So he'll be my best Aussie.
Okay, great stuff. Now, on the text line, what's Gowie's thoughts that the PGA has now created the new $20 million tournaments for the top 50 FedEx players because of the LIV comp? The PGA now getting off its pile of money, which is what the LIV players wanted.
Yeah, exactly right. I had a few conversations with a few players yesterday, and they've been wanting to know where the $1 billion a year that the tour raise, where it goes. You know, $400 million goes into the purse and a bit into the retirement. Where's the rest go? Where's it sit for a non-profit organisation? I think they've found out it just sits there waiting to be used at these type of times. So a little bit disappointing that they've been sitting on that, because the secondary tour, the Corn Ferry Tour, for many, many years, a lot of players on that tour, you know, have really struggled to play and make money to be able to get on to the following year, even if they missed their card. So some money needs to filter back down to that. And really, Kem Smith said it a few weeks ago, why can't we filter some of that money or a tournament down in Australia from the PGA Tour? Why cannot they come down and play the tour there, raise this tour up, give a pathway for the kids? You know, I think he's spot on, and I hope, you know, players like Cam Smith, Adam Scott and Mark Leishman, Jason Day push that, because that will be good for down here. Now we know the tour's got bucket loads of money. Well, hopefully they use it the right way.
Yeah, no, for sure. Good on you, Gowie. Thanks so much.
Thanks, fellas.
We've got Adam Pengilly coming up shortly, and to talk some racing, don't forget, Clarkie's horse, race 4, number 11, on Saturday at Randwick. At the bottom of the weights, pretty wild. Cathy O'Hara rides from a soft draw. Barrier 2, $4.40. The word from the stable is that, you know, they're throwing it in the deep end.
Yep.
This is a big step up going from maiden grade to Saturday race in a benchmark 72. What a one on one, it's maiden over 1200, the 1300 metre race. So, but that's typical Chris Waller being quite circumspect.
Maybe.
Rarely declares anything.
Maybe. He's pretty honest, though, Chris.
Well, he had no idea how it was going to go on debut.
And he was honest about that as well. I don't think he'd be saying, he hasn't said, look, any horse can win. You boys know that better than anyone. But I think at the end of the day, he's saying, I think if you lower your expectation, it is a massive step up from its first race. And let's just see how it goes.
Adam Pengilly, morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. Clarky, I did notice he had pretty wild on the nominations for Canterbury yesterday and decided to bypass that and head to Randwick on Saturday.
Yes, correct, buddy.
Must have some ability.
I'm thinking so, Jared. I'm thinking so.
Yeah, well, she won well, didn't she? First start. And didn't you say this morning that...
Well, we had a text saying that the horses that ran second and... I'll check this, but that ran second and third
since coming out and won.
It's a pretty wild on debut. Have come out and I think they've run first and second. Beirut Misses run second, which was runner-up to Pretty Wild. And Glacier Queen, which ran third, won that race. So they've run 1-2 in the same race. The horses that were second and third behind Clarkey. There you go.
Pupster, he's not giving anything away.
You guys think I'm hiding information. I told you this before her first race. I was very honest. Actually, you read Chris's emails, on air. So it wasn't like I was making stuff up, and I'm doing exactly the same now. I'm giving you the truth. You don't trust me.
No.
I paraphrased.
What do you mean? You think I'm keeping my cards close?
Yes.
No, not at all.
Yep.
Do you want me to show you the email?
Underplaying it because you don't want to
come
out and say that you think she's going to win.
No, that's not true either. I thought she was a chance of winning, a big chance of winning, I would say it loud and proud.
Look, what he's really trying to say is it's the next Nature Strip, right? what's the latest with Nature Strip? What accolades is he achieving now?
Well, you know how much I love the international ratings, Jared. I've said that many times on this program, but I am genuinely keen to see what they come up with after a Kingstown win last week. So he's the second highest rated horse in the world at the moment before going into Royal Ascot there last week on 124 behind Bayeed, who won the Queen Anne, obviously, on the opening day of Royal Ascot as well. I'd imagine his rating after demolishing that field in the Kingstown Stakes will probably go up. So I think there's an outside chance he could be the highest-rated horse in the world after the International Panel of Handicappers sit down and do their ratings after Royal Ascot, which was a massive feather in the cap for Chris Waller and the team, as well as Australian racing in general. So very keen to see what they come up with in the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, there's a chance he could either join Bayeed or take over as the best horse in the world on ratings.
Tafani, what's the latest with her?
This surprised me, Jared. She's out of retirement in some respects. Had one last campaign. Remember, she sold for that staggering sum up there at the Magic Millions Broodmare sale going back a month or so ago, $3.1 million. I think Mike Moroney virtually conceded that was the end of her racing career. But Yulong, the new owners of the horses, decided to keep her in work for one more race in preparation. So Mike will probably target, I'd imagine, a race like the Memsey Stakes at the start of the spring, which is a Group 1 in name. I don't know if it's a Group 1 really in substance, in my opinion, but there's another Group 1 there for her to pick up, hopefully at the start of the spring, and then she'll head to stud and obviously be served shortly after that. So I still think she's been probably one of the most underrated horses we've had in Australia for the last 2 or 3 years, and chance to have another Group 1, hopefully in a couple of months' time.
And, of course, Yulong doing the same with the Way Game as well, aren't they, Adam?
Yes, that's right, Jared. So they spent up big time up at the sales up there at the Gold Coast Broodmare. So I think, what did the Way Game get, Jared? $4 million, wasn't she? She was
plenty.
An enormous sum. So it's not uncommon to see this happen sometimes. Obviously, they get these mares to have a couple of starts before they be served in the spring for the breeding season. But I just thought, given the amount of money they'd spent, they'd probably just wrap them in cotton wool and get them ready for the breeding season. But no, they want to chase some more success on the racetrack.
What are you most looking forward to this weekend at Randwick?
The Civic Stakes is going to be the feature. We're deep into winter, aren't we, with this series of races, the Civic Stakes, head to the Winter Stakes and the Winter Challenge. Keen to see Maria Mia, this nice mare for the Joe Pride Yard. Obviously, he's trying to get her up to Brisbane for the Tats TR and qualify for there, but she couldn't quite pass the ballot or force her way into the field given her rating. But she's been racing extremely well down here in Sydney. Went up to the Group 2, the Dane Ripper up there at Queensland and raced well. And obviously, Bjorn Baker's bringing Battledon back from running so well up in the group race up there in Queensland as well. So they're the two horses I'm sort of focusing on at the moment for that Civic Stakes on the weekend. But no doubt Chris Waller will be strong again with the likes of Oscar Zulu and True Detective. But we are deep into winter racing at the moment, boys.
What's this Annabelle Neesham horse? Temahir.
I know, Jared. It's very keen to see how it lines up after coming from overseas. We're from America, obviously the one quiet trial there at Warwick Farm. And Annabelle, we know, can get these imports ready to go early in their careers down here in Australia. So I'll be watching the betting very, very closely for that race. If there's any late move there on the weekend, it's definitely going to be a horse to be respected.
Yeah. Sire Wooden Bassett, five-year-old mares running Group 1s over in the States. Interesting runner indeed. And how are you feeling about Origin 2 a couple of days out?
Yeah, not too bad, Jared, not too bad. It's been a bit of spice to the build-up this year, isn't there, boys? Well, this game, I suppose. It was very quiet leading into Game 1, but I don't mind a bit of war of words. And Angus Crichton coming out the other day saying Felice Capuzzi should have got suspended, and the referees, Loz, they're just in the headlines. They can't escape at the moment, can they?
No, which sort of worries me because the focus is on them too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's they're going to be crucified whatever they do. And if both teams are really going hard at the ruck and it becomes a penalty-a-thon, they're going to get criticised. And that won't be a great spectacle either, by the way.
No.
If we're nitpicking penalties and slowing the game down, we want an open game, but the players have to contribute to that as well. But again, you know, it's not every tackle that's slowed down. It's the ones that are more important than others.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
But, yeah, I hope that, we just get a good contest. If we get a fast game, I think it suits New South Wales.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Good on you, mate. Have a good day.
See you, boys.